Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. When we first produced a story on the phenomenon of little free libraries a few years ago, the diminutive sidewalk lending institutions were gaining in popularity here in the state where they were first conceived.
Todd Bowl from Hudson built the first one 6 years ago as a memorial to his mother. Today, their popularity has soared far beyond the borders of Wisconsin, and there are little free libraries now around the world.
A new book by Minnesota writer Margaret Aldrich seeks to capture what makes the phenomenon so popular. The Little Free Library book also features pictures of some of the most interesting ones and directions for building your own. Margaret Aldrich joins us via Skype from the Twin Cities, and Todd Bowl is with us on the line from Hudson, Wisconsin. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Margaret Aldrich, let's start with you. What do you hope people take from seeing all of these stories collected in one place?
Well, what I'm really hoping is that people can see this as really a global movement, because I know that we all see little free libraries in our neighborhoods. We see them, you know, on the sidewalk as we're on a walk. We see them while we're taking a trip to the grocery store. We see them at the park. But I don't think that people sometimes realize that these little free libraries are in India, they're in Iceland, they're in Australia, they're in Pakistan. And it's really become a global movement that has started right here in our own backyard.
Well, and I wonder, you know, one of the points that really stuck with me was it was how worldwide this phenomenon is. But at the same time, it strikes me that the reason for having little free libraries in a place like Pakistan or Ukraine or in some of the African countries, for example, is a bit different than you would find in Milwaukee or Hudson or Minneapolis.
It's true. You know, here, what I see a lot is using little free libraries as community building vehicles. You know, we use little free libraries to get to know our neighbors better and to start conversations. But around the world, you know, a lot of places are using little free libraries where books are scarce, where maybe a public library isn't available for miles and miles. And even in political ways, in Ukraine, they've used little free libraries to give kids a voice. You know, they publish kids' books written by kids and put them in the little free libraries.
Todd Bowl, as the one who essentially started this movement, was this an eye-opener for you as these stories started to come together that you got to then hear about?
Well, I'm always fascinated. I mean, in many ways, I feel like I'm a parent that has a trillion kids and they're all opening new Christmas presents every day. And so for me, I'm just absolutely delighted at all the stories and all the heartfelt things that happened around and surrounding Little Free Library every day.
And with a trillion kids, it's a lot of birthdays to remember.
Well, it's okay because they give each other presents, so that works out pretty well.
The reason, Todd Bowl, that you built the first Little Free Library is actually relatively well known by this point, but maybe not why you started to grow a nonprofit around the libraries. Why was it important for you to have some organization around this work?
Well, I noticed how people responded and how it excited and delighted people, and I was always fascinated with how people responded to a new puppy or a little kitten, and I thought it was a sweet side of humanity coming out. And I realized that it was a sweet side of humanity coming out around these little libraries and around books. And what I wanted to do was make sure that as many people as possible could share it and could experience it and be a part of it. So we tried to design an organization that made it as open as possible so people could make their own, they could get them from us, they could work in communities, and we really kind of kept an open source attitude about it, much as a nonprofit would. We had been approached by some of the major big box stores about selling little free libraries, and we wouldn't allow it, you know, in part because we didn't want to lose our identity or brand, or we just didn't want to become a commodity. We wanted to stay something that was true to the heart of each and every neighborhood that got a little free library.
Margaret Aldrich, to think of little free libraries as representing the sweet side of humanity, is that in some way underestimating the true power of these?
Well, I think that people have done some really amazing things with their libraries, you know, whether that's on a small scale or a large scale. You might have heard the story about the little boy named Spencer Collins in Leawood, Kansas, who built a little free library for his mom for Mother's Day, 9 years old. And the city told him, oh, you can't put that up. It goes against zoning laws. And this boy, you know, he spoke in front of the city council and let them know about the little free library message and got it reinstated so that he could have it. You know, or there's people, organizations like Books for Africa, who are using little free libraries to bring books to places where libraries don't exist.
I was amazed to read about a Kickstarter campaign that raised more than $10,000 for library building without ever really trying to raise that much.
Yes, Sarah Maxey, she wanted to build one little free library, and people were so taken with the idea that little did she know, bit by bit, she earned $10,000. And with that $10,000, she has done a lot for her community, putting up many more than just one little free library.
Let me ask you both about, you know, some of the criticisms that have been raised. I mean, there have been some people who have rained on this parade a bit, and they say, you know, hey, we already have these forces for literacy and community building. They are big free libraries, if you will. And you address this issue in the book. What do you see as the relationship between what these little free libraries do and what the traditional public libraries do?
Well, the big libraries are our biggest fans, and I'm frequently a keynote speaker at library conferences. We won the Movers and Shakers Award from the American Library Association, which is considered to be thought leaders in the library industry. They're our biggest fans, and we're their biggest fans. And they see us really as an augmentation of what they're about. They put a little sizzle in reading, and they're a little book of a box of magic that kids love to see, love to explore. And they're more likely to go to a big library after experience the little library. We're hand in hand. And if it's one out of 100,000 librarians or something that would say that, I'd be amazed. It's not a comment that's really made anymore. It was in the beginning. But after a while, the librarians really, really took to little free libraries and English teachers and so on. So we're something that complements each other and emphasizes how important literacy and reading and books is to community.
And Margaret Aldrich, as you compiled the information about this book, did you hear from communities in which traditional libraries are having to scale back or closing, and these little free libraries are filling in some of the gaps?
Well, I did talk with a group in New Mexico, in kind of a remote area there, where they didn't have a public library. And to fill that void, they started one little free library, and then they had plans to start two, and then all the way up to 13 or 14 little free libraries. And they use that as just a book trading system, since they don't have a traditional public library in their midst.
So the other criticism I have read in places is the complaint that some people have used little free libraries as a repository of maybe lowbrow literature, remaindered copies of Danielle Steele and James Patterson and Dean Koontz novels. First of all, do you see anything wrong with that? And secondly, how much does the book selection matter in the bigger context of what these libraries are about?
I have seen in my own little free library quite a mix of what shows up. And something that I love about little free libraries is that they're for everybody. You know, it's really not about censoring what kinds of literature show up there. And someone I talked to for the book was Jocelyn Hale, who's the director of the Loft Literary Center. And she said at first, when she put up her little free library, she thought, oh, I only want to have the best of the best books in here. And little by little, you know, people dropped off, you know, detective novels and romance novels. And she realized, I don't want to censor books. And I think that that's something great about little free libraries.
The other phenomenon that I was really surprised by, but maybe it shouldn't have surprised me, is how little free libraries are not just encompassing books, but other things that that really sort of lend themselves, to use an appropriate metaphor, lend themselves to this model.
Well, yeah, and there's one of my favorite stories is there's a gentleman in Arkansas who has cookbooks inside his library, and it's surrounded by a herb garden, and he asked people to take herbs from his little garden and go cook something. And so it ends up becoming a informal kind of neighborhood center that exchanged different things, from food to plants to you know, to canned goods, to tools, to recipes, and so on. It becomes a place where neighbors just talk and exchange with each other.
As you look over the many different kinds of little free libraries that have come together, the different designs, if you will, I'm curious: do either of you or both of you have favorites of the models that maybe came together as part of this book, or that you otherwise know about?
I don't think Todd can pick a favorite. That'd be like picking a favorite child. So. There are so many that I love, and it's really because they're all so different. Some of them that I am particularly fond of are ones that look like giant robots. I think those are pretty cool. I love one in Oregon that's made by a glass artist, and he incorporates glass sculpture. And there's one just south of Minneapolis that is a full-size replica of Doctor Who's TARDIS elevator, which is pretty impressive as well.
And you're right that there was actually a couple that actually traveled there so that they could have their engagement picture taken with this little free library?
It's true. They've gotten visitors from all over.
Todd Bowl, where do you hope this goes? I mean, is there a next big thing for Little Free Libraries, or is it enough that it continues to be about pint-sized libraries springing up along sidewalks and streets?
Oh, no, there's so much more that we're doing. One, by Thanksgiving, we'll likely pass McDonald's. There will be more Little Free Libraries than McDonald's, so I long to have a sign that says more books than burgers. You know, I think that'll be good. But on the other hand, we're starting to do all kinds of interesting things. The producer of the New Girl show, a guy named David Finkel with Zooey Deschanel, and I coined the phrase, what you read. And we're launching a campaign where we want the new high bar of hello to be what you're reading, especially in kids. And so we're working with different schools and different organizations, and David's trying to make it a push in Hollywood that instead of saying, hi, how are you doing, you say, hi, what you're reading. And my ultimate goal is that, 70% of all books are read by women. So I figure that every girl that ever goes out again, the first thing she has to ask of a guy is, what you reading? It would be a new high bar, you know? It would eliminate some people pretty quickly. But my hopes is that a bunch of 17 to 19-year-old men will be looking through the web pages, looking for the New York Times bestseller list, and actually go out and get the books and start reading them. Of course, I dream about it all the time, and my dream kind of messes it up. The guy picks up the book, he starts to read the book, and he actually misses the date because he's so engrossed in the book. I guess that'd be okay, too.
Well, so, Todd Bowl, let me turn the tables on you. What you reading?
Oh, actually, I'm reading a book called The Handbook to Higher Consciousness that I just read 40 years ago. It's kind of a I'm okay, you're okay book, and I hadn't read it for 40 years, so I'm reading that. But I'm reading actually Margaret's book for the fourth time because I have to do some TED Talks, and I've got to get it done. And it's the fourth best book I've ever read, you know, after the first time.
So. Well, and Margaret Aldrich, I feel silly saying what you read, but what are you reading?
I am about to start The Story of My Teeth, which is a new book coming out from my publisher, Coffeehouse Press. So I'm excited about that one.
Margaret and I got together and signed 500 copies of the book that we've already sold. So.
And Margaret, do you have a copy in your little free library yet?
I'm waiting to put mine in there till we launch it as well. So we kind of have the advanced copies right now, and we're waiting to introduce it to the world. But I'm really excited for my neighbors to see it because they've been a big part of my own little free library story.
Well, it is a terrific story, and the book is really delightful. And let me just say to both of you, congratulations and thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for having us on. Appreciate it.
Minnesota writer Margaret Aldrich is the author of the new book, The Little Free Library Book, published by Coffee House Press. Todd Bowl of Hudson is the founder of Little Free Libraries. There is a link to much more about the book from WUWM.com.